Okay, we're going to Be'ezus Hashem finish off the first part of Psukei Zimra tonight. We're going to do the second half of Yehi Chavod and what the message is, what the themes are, to enhance our own davening, and then we will be done for the semester. That'll be it, and we'll have completed the first section, the introductory pieces of Psukei Zimra. Following that would be Ashrei. Ashrei is a whole discussion on its own. And the halukas and the ending pieces of Ayurath David. But tonight we're going to finish Yichavo. So again, I highly, highly recommend anyone have a sitter with them because we're going to have to be looking at Sukkim very, very carefully. And then we will, and we'll try to get a better understanding for ourselves. So we've already mentioned that in the Sukkim of Yichavo, there is essentially one theme. And that theme is to praise the Malchus of Hashem, to speak about Hashem as the King of the world. And that we are describing the development and the purpose, the destiny of creation, which is summarized in the words, Yehi Chavod Hashem Le'olam, that Hashem's Kavod is forever, and Yismach Hashem B'ma'asav. And Hashem rejoices with his actions, his creations, meaning even through the events of nature and history, we'll eventually arrive in the days where there's a unity of Hashem, it will be recognized, and the Kavod Hashem, the glory of Hashem, will be realized. A time of Ein Od Milvado. That's what we're davening about. That's what we're mentioning in Yehi Chavod. There is a focus in these psukim on the concepts of Kavod, of Malchus Hashem, that are independent of other beings, that Hashem needs nothing. Nevertheless, creation does reveal the brilliance of Hashem, the Chachmas Habore, the Ratzon Hashem, Hashem's amazing desire in this world. And the Shla writes in Asara Mamaros, in Maimer Gimel and Dalet, that the meaning of the pasuk we discussed last time, Hashem Melech, Hashem Melech, Hashem Yochel Moed, is that Hashem was the Melech even before we were created. But there's an additional level of Malchus of Hashem when after we were created. And there's a greater showing of Malchus in the future, Basad Lava Mashiach comes. There are three different periods of Hashem's Malchus, beforehand when he didn't even need us, but now that we're here, that we are Mamach Hashem, Mek Hashem the King, and the future when the whole world will recognize Hashem as the King. Now let's turn to the Psukim inside. So let me just open up my sitter over here. So we're towards the second half of the second half. So we just said Hashem Melech, Hashem Melech, Hashem Melech Olam Va'ed. Hashem Melech Olam Va'ed, Avdu Goyim Ma'artzav. The Hashem is the Melech forever, and the nations of the world will be wiped out. They'll be lost. So what does that mean over here? So it acknowledges that even though it's true that Hashem runs the world, there will only be a complete recognition of Hashem's Malchus, of Hashem's kingship, when the non-Jews who defy Hashem are removed from this world. This is really an introduction to the remaining psukim, which can describe the different levels of Gilui and Malchus, the revelation of Hashem's kingship throughout the world. So now we're going to look at three psukim together. So in this source sheet, I brought for you three psukim from Tehillim. This is really in Tehillim, Perek Lamed Gimel. In Tehillim, Perek Lamed Gimel, the psukim go in the following order. It's Tehillim, Lamed Gimel 33, 9, 10, and 11. Those are the three psukim. So you'll notice now in Yehi Chavod, we are essentially taking those three psukim and we are reordering them and we're adding in another pasuk. So let's read through the four psukim as a group, and we'll discuss them on their own. If we continue as follows. The four psukim are, Hashem hefiratz asbayim, heini machshavos, and then Hashem ruins the plans of the goyim, he ruins the thoughts of the nations. Okay? Rabos machshavos, that's from Tehillim, Lamed Gimel Yud. Rabos machshavos b'levish, v'atzasa Hashem, he sakon. That the man has many thoughts in his heart, but Hashem's plans are the ones that stand forever. This is from Mishlei. I don't remember exactly, but this could be the only pasuk from Mishlei that I think appears in Psukah de Zimra. Usually it's all Tehillim, but this is from Mishlei. And then we say, Atzas Hashem Elom Tamod, Machshavos Libo L'dor V'dor, that the plans of Hashem go forever, and his plans go from generation to generation. That's Tehillim Lamed Gimel Aleph. And then finally, Kihu Amar Vayihi, Utsiva V'yamod, that Hashem says, and it is, he commands, and it stands. So essentially, again, we have three psukim from Tehillim that are being reorganized. The first in Tehillim comes last in our tefillah, and one pasuk for Mishnah. So what's going on here? What are the themes of these four psukim together? So it goes as follows. In Tehillim, the pasuk of Hashem Hefir, that Hashem stops the plans of our enemies, deals with stopping the evil plans of our non-Jewish enemies. The pasuk of Atzas Hashem tells us that the plans of Hashem will last forever and they can't be stopped. So what is the pasuk in Mishlei doing here? The pasuk in Mishlei is like a bridge. It combines both psukim on either end. It brings both realities and says, Rabos machshavos b'levish, there are many thoughts in the minds of man. V'yatzas Hashem yisakum, but the advice, the plans of Hashem is what stands forever. Between the pasuk of the weakness of the thoughts and the plans of man and the power of Hashem, there's this pasuk in Mishlei which connects the two ideas. The pasuk of Ki Hu Amar Vayi is really an introduction in Tehillim, but in Yehi Chavod it's really a summary regarding the continuation and the detailing of the great plan of Hashem. So now let's go in detail into these four psukim. Let's go back. The pasuk says, Hashem hefir atzas gayim, heini machshavos anu. We're essentially saying the same thing twice. So what's the difference between being hefir atzas gayim and being heini machshavos anu? We're essentially saying that Hashem foils or stops the plans of our enemies. So I brought for us over here the perish of the Siach Yitzchak and the Siddur Isha Yisrael. So the Siach Yitzchak explains as follows. We'll say it outside. You can look at it inside on your own. He says the difference between being Mefir and being Haini. What's the difference? The difference is the same between Atzos and Machshavos. Atzos are plans. Machshavos are plans. What's the difference? One is how Meini, to be Meini someone, to stop something, is prevent something in the beginning that doesn't allow something to come into fruition. It's to foil plans even before they start. And this matches machshavos, right? That Hashem is heini machshavos amin. The plans, the initial thoughts that our enemies have against us, Hashem stops those things. It's the very conception of the plan. We find in Nedarim, the Torah says, that a father is allowed to uproot the nedarim made by his daughter. The Torah says, "Ki heini avia osa." The father will uproot any nedarim that the daughter makes that he thinks are inappropriate, any vows. He stops the plans right in the beginning, right away. But to be mefir, mem pe yud resh, is not about thoughts. It's about stopping the eitzah. Eitzah means an actual plan that's physically being carried out. Not only does Hashem stop and ruin the plans that are being carried out by our enemies, but he also foils the very thoughts and the very machinations of those who go against him. On the other hand, Atzas Hashem, Li'olam Tamod, Machshavos Libo L'dor V'dor. But the plans of Hashem, the Machshavos, the things that Hashem wants to happen in this world, the initial plans, the practical implementations of those plans, Hashem's plans are always carried through. Now let's move on. Rabos machshavos b'levish, v'yatzas Hashem hisafim. Machshavos, as we said, are plans. Eitzos are results of plans. The simple meaning of the pasuk is that even though a person has many, many plans, things they want to do, none of them will come to fruition without the assistance of Hashem. That's Pashut Pshat, right? Rabos machshavos b'levish, v'yatzas Hashem hisafim. But you need Hashem in order to get them done. And the simple pshat seems obvious then. Clearly, the wisdom of the creator is greater than the wisdom of the created. What does it mean to say that Hashem's plans come through? Of course Hashem is smarter than us. So what I want to share with you tonight is a beautiful explanation from the Simcha Bunim of Peshitta. He says that the implication here is that the Ratzon Hashem, Hashem's plans, Hashem's desires are carried out by you, by mankind. Often we think that I'm going to do things my way. I know Hashem wants me to do A, B, and C, but I'm going to do X, Y, and Z. I'm going to do it my way. I know Hashem thinks this is maybe the best thing to do, but I'm going to do it my own way, and I'm going to circumvent, go around, not go with Hashem's plans, not in line with what Hashem wants of us. However, when we look back, we often see that not only do we fail to prevent the Ratzon Hashem, but on the contrary, Hashem used you as a pawn. You were part and parcel in facilitating the Ratzon Hashem. And that's what it means. Rabos machshavos b'levish. You have all types of plans of the way you're going to get things done, of what you're going to accomplish, of what you're going to do in life. But at the end of the day, the atzas Hashem is happening. At the end of the day, really, and you look back, and you realize that Hashem had a totally different plan, and Hashem moved you in the way that he wanted you to be, not in the way that you wanted, and really Hashem is calling the shots and not you. So let's give three examples of where we find this. In the story of Yosef, the brothers are very afraid of Yosef. And the very end of Parshas Vayechi, and Parshas in the end of Bereishis, the Torah sums up the entire event with a pasuk from Yosef. Yosef tells his brothers, V'atem chashavtem alei ra. You plan to hurt me and you plan to do bad things. That was your plan. But Elokim chash v'letova. Hashem knew that it was going to be good. L'man asa kayom hazeh, that we would have this day. L'chayas amrav, that we would come down and also live in the tribe. You thought you were doing something bad to me. You thought you were getting rid of me. The brothers thought they were ruining the dreams of Yosef by selling him into slavery. But really, they were setting the groundwork for when they would ultimately bow down to him as their king. Machshavos Rabos were the instrumental parts to bring to fruition the Atzas Hashem, the real plans of Hashem to come true. The Medrash in Mishlei, and our pasuk says, the same thing is talking about Purim. Haman thought he was building gallows to hang Mordechai. But really, what was he doing? He was building his own point of execution, and he should be able to die by the gallows. What about Paro? Paro thought that he was murdering the future possible savior of the Jewish people. But in truth, what was Paro doing? He was really setting into motion the plan that his own enemy, his own arch nemesis, Moshe, would be raised and cared for in his own palace. He was going to teach his enemy, his future nemesis, how to be raised in a palace, how to have leadership, how to have proper etiquette, how to act as royalty. Paro taught Moshe how to do all these things as he was raised in his household. He had all these machshavos rabos about how he was going to destroy the Jewish people, but really that was all part of Atzas Hashem, bringing Hashem's plan to fruition. The Gemara in Sanhedrin has a totally different shot. The Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Vav, says that if a person learns Torah Lishma, then you won't get distracted learning. Rabos machshavos levish. You have a lot of machshavos, a lot of distractions, a lot of thoughts in your heads. But if you're learning Atzas Hashem, you're learning the Torah of Hashem Lishma, you sucking will be successful. You won't be distracted in your life. Okay, let's move on to the next puzzle. We then say, Ki hu amar vayihi. Hashem said, and it was. Utsiva, he commanded, and it stands. So Hashem uses two kochos to run the world. That of Bria, creation, and the other of Kiyam, sustaining creation. The Bria, the creation, is Hu Amar Vayehi. He spoke, and it became part of the world. It was made part of the world. And the Kiyam, the fact that the world sustains and continues to exist, is Hutsiva Vayamo. He commands and it stands. The Gemara Chagiga explains as well. The Gemara Chagiga says, Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav. The Shah Shebar HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yisrael Olam Hayah Marche V'Holech V'Shtei Pekiyo Shoshtei Shal Shesi Ad Shegar Baruch HaKadosh Baruch Hu V'Amidu. When Hashem created the world, it continued to expand like two balls of the warp, two balls of a piece of wool. The cord gets longer and longer as the wool unravels and gets longer and longer until Hashem said, stand still. So we see that Hashem created the world, but then has it stand in place. The Ramban in the beginning of Bereishis explains that every day of creation, there's a lashon of Amira, right? Vayomer Elokim. And Hashem said there should be life. Hashem said there should be vegetation. Hashem said there should be mammals. Hashem said there should be fish. Vayomer, Vayomer, Vayomer. That is Ki Hu Amar, by He and He created. But we also find in creation, Vayikra Elokim Ki Tov, Vayar Elokim Ki Tov, that Hashem saw and that it was good. It says the Ramban, Vayar Re'ia, seeing, is a lashon of Kiyum, sustaining. So that's why, out of all 6 days of creation, there's an opening and a conclusion. Vayomer Hashem created, He made. But what made that creation be able to sustain, to exist for all time? Vayar, He saw, and it was Vayamod, it stood in place. These are the dual aspects of creation. Let's continue. Yibachar Hashem b'tzion, Iva l'moshav l'ahu. So Hashem chose Tzion, He chose Yerushalayim, and He desires to dwell there. The pasuk comes from the Tuflam Beis, which is the saying that the choice is Yerushalayim. Then we cite Tehillim Kuf Lamed Hei. Tehillim Kuf Lamed Hei says, Ki Yaakov b'char lo ka, Yisrael uskulasam. He also chose the Jewish people. Obviously about choosing as well. The connection is obvious. He chose Yerushalayim. He chose the Jewish people. The Bechir of Tzion, the choosing of Yerushalayim, is connected to the chosenness of Klal Yisrael. We were chosen so that He can rest His Shechina, Hashem's presence, on us while in Eretz Yisrael. It's not enough to be the chosen people. We are the chosen people in the chosen land, in Eretz Yisrael. The Ramban, in the middle of Shmos Parak Mates, says there's a sod gadol, a great secret in these pesukim. There's a great purpose to the Shechina resting on Klal Yisrael, on Yisrael, in Eretz Yisrael. And these ideas are found in Yichavod because they speak about the plan and the reality of Malchus Hashem being revealed in this world. Where is the greatest Malchus of Hashem being revealed? On Klal Yisrael, in Eretz Yisrael. Now we're going to put three pesukim together. Let's go back and read these pesukim again. Yibachar Hashem b'tzion, Hashem will choose Tzion, Iva l'moshav, who desires to dwell there. Ki Yaakov b'char lo ka, Hashem chooses Jewish people, Yisrael uskulasu, His chosen nation. Ki lo yitosh Hashem amo, v'nachaso le'azov, Hashem will not abandon His people or His not. So we seem to be going back on these pesukim. What's going on here? Now the Rambam is not known as a parshan of Tefillah or Tanakh. But there is a hidden gem in the Rambam, in his commentary on the Mishnayos of Maseches Zvachim. And there he connects these two pesukim together and explains what's going on in Ki Lo Yitosh Hashem Amo. He says as follows. The Mishnah in Maseches Zvachim is talking about the Kedusha, the holiness of Yerushalayim, and Shiloh, where the Mishkan dwell. The Pasuk says in Dvarim Pasuk Parakidim, you have not yet arrived to the place that is called Menucha and the place that is called Nachala, Asher Hashem Elokecha Nosen Lach, that Hashem will give you. So the Mishnah in Zvachim and the Gemara in Daf Kuf Yud Beis want to know which is Nachala and which is Menucha. What are we talking about, Nachala and Menucha? Nachala means a portion, Menucha means a resting place. So says the Mishnah, Bo Lishilo, Nesru Habamas. When they came to the city of Shiloh, they were no longer allowed to offer korbanos, sacrifices on bamos, outside public altars. Vihi Haisa Menucha. This is what the Torah refers to as Menucha, the city of Shiloh. Bo Lirushalayim, when they came to Yerushalayim, Nesru Habamos. They also forbade the offering of public sacrifices on public altars outside the Beis HaMikdash called bamos. And there was never again a hetzer to offer sacrifices outside the Beis HaMikdash. Vehi Haisa Nachla, and Yerushalayim is called Nachla. So the Gemara in Zvachim and Daf Kuf Yud Tes has a machlokus regarding these points. Tana Rabbanan, the rabbis said, you have not yet come to Menucha and Nachla. Menucha zu Shiloh, Nachla zu Yerushalayim. Menucha is the city called Shiloh, the resting place, and Nachla, the portion of Yerushalayim. It brings a pasuk. It says in Yirmiyahu, Haisli Nachla Sika Aryeh Bayaru. Remember, my Nachla is there. Behit Savua Nachla Silo, it's Saviv Alea Divere Yu. So Yudha brings a pasuk from Yirmiyahu that says that Nachla refers to Yerushalayim and Menucha refers to Shiloh. Rabbi Shimon says, Menucha zu Yerushalayim. No! Menucha refers to the city of Yerushalayim, and Nachla refers to the city of Shiloh. And what's his proof? Our pasuk, Ki Bachar Hashem b'Tzion, Iva l'Moshav, that Hashem has chosen Tzion. So what's going on here? So Rambam writes in his Perush Mishnayos as follows. He comes to explain the opinion of the Mishnah that understands that Yerushalayim is the city called Nachla, and Shiloh is the city that is called Menucha. And he explains, using our davening. Look over here. Look at the psukim by Yehichavod. He says, look in Yehichavod, and they're telling one story. When the pasuk says, ki lo yitosh Hashem amo, that Hashem doesn't abandon his nation, the nachla so lo yazom, and he does not abandon his nachla, his portion, they're going back on the two previous psukim. This is a brilliant Rambam. Listen to this. When it says Kol Yitosh Hashem Amo, Hashem doesn't abandon the nation, it's referring back to the chosenness of Klal Yisrael. Ki Yaakov Bachar Lo Ka, that Hashem has chosen the Jewish people. And therefore the second half of the verse, V'nachla So Lo Yazov, but his portion he has not abandoned, this is referring to the chosenness of Tzion, which Hashem doesn't abandon as well. And therefore we see that Nachla is Yerushalayim. The Nachla Solo Yazov. What's Nachla So? Go back to Tzukim. Sion Iva. That Hashem desires to be in Sion. What a brilliant Rambam. Connecting these to Tzukim, explaining that it's going back on the two Tzukim before. Yerushalayim is established, belonging to Hashem forever. Rabbi Rabachia, in fact, quotes this Rambam in his Perush on Dvarim on that pasuk Yud Beis. Now, I want to show you a very difficult comment from the Rashash. Shmuel Strashen, one of the great Gedolim of Vilna, he says, "I am Perush Rambam, Habiyu Atosus Yantam." Look at the Perush of the Rambam. Yeresi v'zachalti. I am afraid. I'm shivering. Says the Rashash. Lomar to say, "Al Adonenu Ateres Roshenu." Our Master, the glory of our crown, the Rambam, Zichrono Levrachu Chayolam Haba. So if he should shugar Hay Bethiv Sidra Gimel Ksuvim. Because he knew the sitter so well, v'nusach yihi chavod, in the tefil yihi chavod, ze'achar ze'ah, because in the sitter it says, ki bachar Hashem b'tzion, ki Yaakov bachar lo, ki lo yitosh, savar shechin hema sidur m'kasim. Maybe the Rambam mistakenly thought that this is what it says in Tehillim, u'be'emes lo karev ze'al ze'ah, but these psukim aren't near each other in Tehillim, ki harishon hu b'tzil v'kufam v'beis. The second one is until Kuf Lamed Hei, and the third pasuk is until in Sadi Dalid. The Rashash says maybe the Rambam made a mistake in his defense. This is a very difficult Rashash, because it's clear that the Rambam is not making a mistake. The Rambam is instead following the Baal Hasidur, those Kadmonim, those Gedolim, those Sadiqim, put the Siddur together. And he's making the Drasha. The Siddur is also Chazal. The Siddur is not some new thing. The Siddur is Chazal, and you can learn a pasuk and an order and the way the psukim appear in the Siddur, no different than you learn a Gemara, you learn something from the Rishonim, you take it very seriously. So that's the answer to the Rashash. The Rambam didn't forget the Yichavah in the Siddur. No, the Siddur tells us deep insights as well. So let's look at these last psukim. Ki lo yitosh Hashem amo, the Nachla so lo yazir. The Mefarshim note that the Nachla can also refer to Am Yisrael. It says in the end of Devarim, Kichel Kashem Amo, Yaakov Cheva Nachlas, that Yaakov, the Jewish people, are also his portion. Yismach Moshe of Alexander, the Rebbe of Alexander, explains the difference between Lo Yitosh and Lo Yazov. They both mean not abandoned. What's the difference? There are two aspects of Hester Panim, hiddenness from Hashem. One is that Hashem is not revealed to us panim de panim, face to face, where it's open and obvious. The other is that of total abandonment. Hester Panim, we don't see any godliness in the world. It says in Shmuel Aleph, we are meet mishtashta ma'at hatsona ha'ena b'midbar. It means to be hidden, that Hashem hides himself from his flock. Whenever Klal Yisrael are called an Am, Ayin Mem, it's usually a pejorative. It's considered not a great thing. We don't want to be called an Am. There are more beautiful names for Klal Yisrael, and Am is not one of them. But Nachla, so that we are Hashem's Nachla, his portion, that Hashem is close to us, that's a very, very high level of Shvach, of praise. So therefore, the pasuk should be read as follows. Let's read the pasuk together. The pasuk should be said, "Ki lo yitosh Hashem amo." Even when we're on a lowly level of Am, we will not be abandoned by Hashem. Even in the darkest times of Hester Panim, Hashem doesn't abandon us. V'nachla so lo yazo. And when we are nachla so, we're on a higher level, so there won't be any Hester Panim at all, and everything will be panim panim, face to face. We'll see and sense Hashem in the world at all times. Whether on a low level, we won't be abandoned, or we're on a high. Let's come now to the final psukim. The Zohar and the Baal HaRokeach note there are three times in the davening where we say this pasuk of Hashem is merciful, he should forgive us and not destroy us and hold his anger, as we learned before. Why three times? Well, first we say it in Hodu, as we discussed. We say it again here in Yehi Chavod, that's the second time. And we finally say it at the end of davening after the second Ashrei by Yuval and Sion Galah. The Pasuk of Rurachim has 13 words. It is said three times. 13 times 3 is 39. Where do we have 39 in Judaism? Anybody remember? 39? Nothing. So there are 39 malachos, but there's also 39 lashes given in Beis Din. By reciting this pasuk three times, it's a kapara. It's a form of atonement against receiving malchus lashes, and it's as if it's in place of getting malchus. So when we say, "Hurach nechaper v'malayashus, Hashem, forgive us, please forgive us." We already noted that the number 13 corresponds to Yigum Yimas Rachman, discussing the Chavod, which gives us Kapara, to make sure that we are lo yashvis, that we will not be punished. We also explain, in what we learn here in Chavod, the significance of the final pasuk, behind the final pasuk, Hashem Hoshia, HaMelech Garedim Kareinu. Here, it's a closing note that expresses the idea that the Melech will answer us, and when we call, he'll dwell in Sion. The Malchus will rest on Klal Yisrael from generation to generation, coming back again, Hashem being the Melech. Okay. That's all I have. I'll cancel and stop the recording.